Praise the Lord, come on. Tonight that we just said we want to thank God for the things that God has done. And on this particular day, on the 31st day of October, which they call it the Dipper Day, but God is still able. And so tonight, KESK Radio says you come on with the same program, the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ. One thing I can say to every believer, we are about the business of Jesus Christ. I pray that somebody will see the Facebook I sent out to help some people with, because I am an encourager. I'm not a fighter. I don't have the time to fuss and fight, and I just believe that God is able to do anything you want to do. And sometimes I get a little surprised. I'm supposed to be Christian. That's me. That's my attitude. And I understand why Paul said, he said, one couldn't follow him anymore. So we have to pray one for another. And so I'm open. I got one of the teachers on tonight. Amen. Hello. Hello, teacher.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, how you doing? You ready?
Yes, I'm ready. As ready as I'm going to be in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Well, praise the living God. Go right ahead. You got it.
Amen. Well, let me pray first. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to come and speak your word. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that as I decrease, that you will increase. You come in, Lord God, to have your way tonight on these fall lines, Lord God. I ask that the word would go forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside forces, Lord God. I thank you that any weapon to try to form will not prosper, Lord, as we're on this fall line, Lord God. Father, I ask that you open the hearts of your people, that they may hear a word, Lord God, that will make a difference in their life tonight. Father, those who have ministry opportunities coming their way, Lord God, or a door opening for them, that they will seize the moment, Lord God, and begin to walk in it. To those, Lord God, who need to know what their purpose is tonight, Lord God, I pray that they will get a glimpse of that, of their purpose, Lord God, and begin to seek your wisdom and your way, Lord God, to help them walk in the fullness of it. I give you the glory, Father, for this opportunity, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that you are doing a great and mighty work in all those who have an ear to hear what thus says the Lord and the purpose that you call each of us to, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I cover this conversation with the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you have sanctioned it for such a time as this, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to be finishing up John 4, and I want to start off with a question. And the question I want to ask everyone is the same question that Jesus asked the apostles, the disciples in Luke 9 and Matthew 16 and Mark 8. He asked them, who do you say that I am? And that was important to Jesus, that he knew what was on the hearts and the minds of his disciples and what was on the hearts and the minds of the people. But the first question he asked them is, who do the people say that I am? And they started responding to him and telling him who the people say. And then he turned to them and said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter was bold, as always, to say, but you the Christ, the Messiah of God. And we come to know that nobody could have said that to him unless God revealed it to him through the Holy Spirit. It was important to Jesus that the disciples understood who he was, because from that point forward, he began to relate to them the revelation of what was going to happen to him in the coming days and months, and that his purpose was to come to save the world and to pray the people back to God in heaven. Hallelujah. And as he began to share with them his deepest heart desires about his suffering and about his dying and being rose again, he began to share his deepest secrets, his innermost being, so that they would know the person of Jesus Christ, not just the person Jesus, the Messiah, but the person of Jesus Christ. Understanding who Jesus is individually, corporately, is very important to our own personal destiny and purposes and the call of God that's on our lives. It gives us a perspective from God's point of view. How we feel about Jesus and who we think Jesus is will not change who he is. That who he is so very important to us and detrimental to our walk in him, because if we don't come to a place of understanding the person of Jesus, we can lose sight of the perspective that he came to give us. Many of us have met Jesus or have encountered him at some point in our life, and at points of desperation or points where we needed him in our life. A few of us was able to encounter Jesus simply by loving God or God himself, seeking us out, be a child of his in love. Wherever the case may be, we all encounter Jesus somewhere along our walk. Some of us say yes, and others of us say no, because we simply was not ready. We all have some kind of testimony or become a witness of those various encounters we have with Jesus. The disciples who spent a lot of time with Jesus were still learning about the person of Jesus. There's still a lot they did not know, and as much time, they spent three years with him, and they're still learning things about Jesus. So as we see in John 4:8, while Jesus was resting at the well, waiting for his appointment, the disciples left to go buy food to eat. And as we take a closer look at that passage, it becomes indicative of several things that we observed. One of the things was that it was obvious that they were hungry as well as tired, and they needed to nourish their bodies, so it was easy for them to assume that they were hungry, that Jesus was hungry as well. They did not talk to Jesus about what his need was at that time. They just took it upon themselves to make sure that he was comfortable and had something to eat. As we recall from the last coming weeks, Jesus insisted on going through Samaria and not avoiding it. It wasn't a normal way of going to Galilee from Judea, but it was a needful thing for Jesus to stop in at Samaria. The disciples was learning everything Jesus did was purpose and not happen chance. He didn't happen to be in Samaria. He purposed to be in Samaria. He seized every opportunity to please God, to glorify him, to expand the kingdom of heaven. He used every opportunity to be the kind of son that God had called him to be. I can recall that at times in my own life when there was opportunity that presented to me to speak a kind word, to smile, to pray for someone, to offer Jesus to someone, and I was so caught up in my own thing that I didn't do what the opportunity that was presented to me called for. But I also recall times where I would pray for such opportunities. I still do that today, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that do that. Lord, just bring somebody in front of me, and I'll offer them Jesus, and I'll talk to them about Jesus. And lo and behold, he brings somebody in front of you, and you get so scared. Oh, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? You know, we find that we're not close in the manner we should be close in, and we miss what God is doing. Sometimes it was because of fear. We didn't know what to say, but we feel maybe that person's not going to receive me, or maybe they're not going to accept the word I'm saying to them, or maybe they just don't want to know about Jesus. And in the last couple of weeks, I have been talking to several people about Jesus and about the Lord, and a couple of those cases, one of them is an active atheist, and the other one is he's on the fence, so to speak. And those when those opportunities are presented to us, we are supposed to trust the Holy Spirit and trust God to nurture that word, to nurture that word for them, that nurture that word in them, and to just allow the Holy Spirit to touch and sensitize their heart to what has been spoken and what is being given to them at that moment. Because God has given us everything we need to be a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the things I like about Jesus and all the gospel is that he always created opportunity to draw people to himself. And yet his disciples were in a different place. They were still learning him, still trying to understand why he was doing the things he was doing. Their desire was at that moment in John 4 was to meet their physical need, because they had yet to understand there was a greater need going on, a greater desire that Jesus had, a greater purpose. They knew he was called to the people. They still was trying to figure out why he was doing some of the things he did. One of the things I noticed in all the Gospels, especially in this one, is that instead of running off at their mouth and assuming things, they began to quiet their spirit long enough to observe some of the things he was doing. If you notice in John 4, in the latter part of John 4, it talks about it. They wondered about some things, but they never questioned him all. They learned not to question, but just to watch and pay attention to what he was doing. Jesus' desire was to meet, is always to meet our spiritual needs before our physical needs. Because if we could understand the spiritual perspective of anything, then our physical need would eventually be met. And as Jesus waited for the woman to come, the disciples journeyed into town to buy food. I find it so amazing because as I studied that passage for this part of the teaching, I learned there were several barriers that the disciples had to overcome, and one was food, the second one was woman, and the third one was God's perspective. And I believe that that is very significant for us to understand that the disciples went to purchase food from Samaria, from the town of Samaria. If we know anything about the Jews, we know that the Jews eat kosher food, according to the Mosaic law. They didn't eat food outside of their culture. In Matthew 15:10-20, specifically verses 17-20, it talked about how Jesus educated the Pharisees about what was defiled and unclean. In verse 17, it says that Jesus talked to the Pharisees about it's not what goes into the mouth of the man that makes him unclean and defiled. It's what comes out of his mouth that makes him unclean and defiled. So Jesus put the Pharisees on notice. You're so busy worrying about cleaning your hands, but it's what's coming out of you that is defiling the people, because what comes out of you is not of God. So he started teaching them about the importance of understanding what is clean and what is unclean. And so he began to share with them the importance of making sure that what comes out of you is right and where it comes from. Because it goes farther on to say that whatever comes out of the mouth of man comes from the heart. And this is what makes man unclean and defiles him. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, reasons and disputes and designs such as murder, adultery, sexual vice, theft, false witnessing, slander, and irrelevant speech. These are what makes a man unclean and defile him. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him undefiled, unclean, or defile him. And I think that barrier in John 4 was broken when they began to go to the town of Samaria to buy food, because they no longer was concerned about what kind of food they were going to eat, what culture it was. They simply was hungry, and it was able to release that the old way of thinking, the traditional way of thinking about where the food was coming from, because they understood that passage in Jesus said, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you, what comes out of your mouth. And so there was no longer concern about that food. So that barrier was broken. They began to get the wisdom and the rhema word of what that means. If you're hungry, go get some food to eat. Doesn't matter where you're at. Be mindful, yes, but eat, because your body needs to be nourished. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. And from that understanding, I believe the disciples no longer had a qualm about eating various foods. And they went their way to find the food. In verse 27 of John 4, a second barrier disciples thinking was broken. Because in the Jewish nation, a rabbi, a man, at least a rabbi, don't stand at a well talking to an irreputable woman. So when the disciples came back and they saw him talking to the woman, they wondered, and they were surprised that he was talking to her. But this is where I saw that instead of them speaking to him about what he was doing with the woman, they simply sit back and observe. Because one of the things they had come to know about Jesus is that he was a revolutionary. He did things out of the box. He was not traditional. He did not believe in what the Pharisee was saying because his heart was not about what tradition was or what the law was. His heart was pleasing God and glorifying his name. If you note that the fact that it was so observant, more watchful, their concern became deliberate more as to what was Jesus doing and how he was doing it and the result of what he was doing and its effect upon the people, especially in this particular time, its effect upon the woman. Jesus was more concerned about God's business and not tradition or appearance or people's opinion, not even what the Pharisees thought, not even the law. He came to fulfill the law. He didn't come to live the law, but to fulfill the law by showing the people how to walk in the things of God. Jesus was more concerned about the need for things. So what was that need for thing? You know, and Lazarus' sister Martha and Mary, and Martha was in the kitchen cooking, and Mary was at the feet of Jesus listening to every word that came out of his mouth. Martha was so upset because she wanted Mary to come help her in the kitchen. She went to Jesus and told Jesus, "Jesus, make her come help me." And he said, "Martha, Martha, what you have asked for, I will not give. I will not take away from Mary. So she has requested the more needful thing." And the more needful thing was to her at that time was sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to every word that was coming out of my mouth. Why was that important? Because Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus was developing a relationship with her Savior. It was more important to her to have that relationship. Not that it wasn't important to Mary. It was. But Martha was so busy making sure that everybody else's need was met and her need was going unmet, needing the Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. The real reason for the disciples unfold as Jesus began to open. This is the third barrier that we're talking about. As Jesus began to unfold what he was really doing in the previous verses, as we come to, he began to open their eyes when they asked him about, "Well, Master, are you not hungry? Do you want something to eat?" And they began to wonder, did anyone come and feed him that we don't know of? And he addressed them and he said, hallelujah, I lost my passage, but hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the living God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm just finding my passage, but basically he said, "I have food that you know not of." And as we go to, and the woman left and began to evangelize the town, but while she was gone, Jesus began to open up the eyes of the disciples and began to show them some things that they failed to recognize. In verses 34, he said, here it is, "My food, nourishment, to do the will and the pleasure of him who sent me and to accomplish and complete, finish his work. Do you not say, if it's still 4 months until the harvest time comes, look, pay attention, open up your eyes. I'm telling you, raise up your eyes and observe the fields. And see how they are already white for the harvest." I believe Jesus saw the people coming back, coming to him from the town, wanting to know about this man that spoke life into this woman. And he told him that already the reaper is getting his wages. He who does the cutting now has his reward. For he was gathering fruit unto the life eternal, so that he who does the planting and he who does the reaping may rejoice together. For in this saying holds true, one sows and another one reaps. I send you to reap a crop which you have not poured. Other men have labored, and you have stepped into the reap the results of their work. Now all of a sudden, all the people from the town was running to Jesus because they wanted to know about this man Jesus, and if he had anything for them. And he began to pour out his word, but he opened the eyes of his apostles that they might see. So what barriers was broken during that time? Well, the disciples learned, and as we do learn as well, is that we should seize every opportunity as a God opportunity. How can this moment honor God? How can what we're doing when the harvest is ripe in our jobs or in our workplaces, in our families, in our neighborhood, there is a harvest that's ripe, ready to be reaped in. But we're so busy looking for the right opportunity. When Jesus said that we have to create the opportunity, he created opportunity at the well when he spoke to that woman and said, "Give me a drink." He created an opportunity for a nation of people to be set free and delivered. Who can I offer the gift of eternal life to? Do I see a sea of people or a ripe for the harvest? And verse 35, Jesus said, "Look at what's in front of you." Every day there's someone in front of us, 3 feet in front of us, whether in the grocery store, whether we're walking on the street, whether we're in the church house, whether we're on our job, in our family, there's somebody in front of us that don't know Jesus. And he's telling the apostles, look at this. Look at the people running. They want to know. The fields are ripe. They want to know who it is that they're going to worship, who it is that needs the Lord Jesus. An opportunity to witness about Jesus, an opportunity to give eternal life to someone, an opportunity to please the Father, desire the things of God. And the church will increase, as it says in Acts. The woman went out to evangelize the town. Jesus saw the people coming through the field to meet their Savior. It was more satisfying to him to do the will of the Father than it was for the disciples to feed him. So he was calling out his disciples and we ourselves to open up our eyes to see the true harvest of this time, of the time that we're in and the time that we are in right now, to open up our eyes and see things from a harvest perspective, where the true harvest is. The harvest, the richness, that it's not just in money, it's not just in going to church. Those are good things, and God wants us to have those things. It's not just in healing our bodies, you know, but the needful thing is telling someone about Jesus, offer them eternal life, seeing that the world is a harvest to be reaped. And Luke 10:2, Jesus said, "The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth the laborers into his harvest." And he began with his disciples, and he continued with each of us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. And I thank you, Lord, that today that we come to understand that we have a harvest that needs to be reached for the kingdom of God. And, Lord, I thank that the hearts of your people, and my heart's included, to be sensitized to the opportunities that come before us to speak about Jesus and who he is to a life, to a soul that needs to be saved and set free, healed from brokenness, and delivered from the attacks and the wiles of the enemy. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise the living God. Praise the living God. Amen, amen, amen. Tonight, that night, we just declare and we just decree that God is still God. I believe we have one other thing to come on to teach that's got a word of God for us tonight. Are you on the line with us? Oh, somebody just dropped. But at any rate, I will say this tonight. I'm finding out that there are a lot of us who believe, and when we believe, the word of God. Action is required. Action is required. And one thing I will say is this. As I was studying and preparing, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. You see, victory in every soul winning comes by having faith in God. Not in a man, not in a woman, not an attitude of another, it's an attitude what God has said through his son, Jesus Christ. And the more I look into the scriptures in the New Testament, the more I find God denouncing, he said the Old Testament is being made anew. He said the old one is being restored with the new covenant. And the new covenant brings us to a position where God will use us according to his real will. Now, let me see if I can point this out clearly. In the book of Galatians 1 and 4, he said these words, God, Jesus, has given his life. The Son of God has given his life for us, that he might set us free of this evil, evil world we're living in. Don't fool yourself. This is an evil world. This evil world, it hates us. Black and white, rich and poor, tall and short, the Satan hates us. Why does he hate us? Because God dared his son to defeat him. When he was defeated at Calvary, he couldn't do anything else. Because he said, as Paul wrote these words, he said, O death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is? When Jesus said, I have the keys. Now, here's what I point out. He said, I have the keys to death and hell. And the more we take the Bible, we see it as a transfiguration, but we see in the New Testament these words. What caused me to get more into the devil would defeat every Christian in every effort he can try. Satan does not love me or you or anybody else. And the more time we spend with God's word and trying to help. Now, I always say what I see in the Bible. The fivefold ministry is that what God has gifts. He gave gifts unto men. Gifts. And a gift is what God imparts his own integrity. He gives him power. He gives him authority. When we get the power, the dynamite of God, when we get the soulness of God, we can say what God says to say. You become so attached to what God is saying. And one thing I will say to us, beloved, is to come. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. Not the mayor, not the governor, not my wife, not be her husband. Jesus Christ is the finisher. Every one of us must come to Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. What I'm seeing as I look into the Word of God, faith. Well, how do I get this faith? The disciples asked God, the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Your faith cannot be increased. Your faith cannot be increased. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and by hearing of the Word of God. And Jesus said, okay, since that's the question you asked, he said, let me ask you a question. When he asked him a question, I mean, it blew their mind. What? Even his own disciples. See, every woman, the woman of faith, well, when she had her faith, she humiliated herself. And she said what Jesus said. Now, I'm saying this with love and kindness. When we walk in faith, we walk in increasing our faith. Now, here's what I've come to understand. The Bible has told me it only requires a small amount of faith as a mustard seed. And Jesus pointed to me, so here's a mustard seed. Let your faith be like this. And some look and say, huh? Yeah, this is your faith. If your faith, a mustard seed, and you plant it, you nourish it, you love it, you exalt what I'm saying, you take it, and all of a sudden your faith starts moving up. And Jesus said these words to them. He said, it will produce results. It's not how much I can teach. It's not how much I know. What I know is irrelevant to what God knows that he wants to download to me. Now, I'm talking about me because I want to get to heaven. I'm not going to let anybody stand in my way, and I'm not going to stand anybody else's way. And more I began to hear God's word to me, the more I began, faith would accomplish a lot of more than we do. Luke 17:19 tells us something. faith must be exercised before it can increase. You got to exercise your faith. You go to your neighbor and talk to your neighbor. You ain't got to go to that call, holy, holy, holy. Go down and talk and say, you know, I live next door, and I just come by to see you. Now, you can use your own words. This is the way I would do it. And I see some have dropped off the line. But that's all right. I still love you. And one thing I take notice of, God has given up. Now, everybody's getting off because tonight is the night that the 31st of the month of October. And one thing I can say to you, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. And Satan cannot do nothing that God does not allow him. When we stay in the arms of God, according to the book of Psalms, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, is that where you dwell? I dwell. Is that where we dwell? If I dwell, God has a manifestation for us. The more I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. What secret place? It's a place called there. It is a secret to God and me. When I ask God something, God will bring it to me. And I try to pass it on to the believer and to those who hear what the Word of God is saying. And the more we see the Word of God moving in our lives, in our wives, our children, our grandchildren. And let me tell you something. There is a school right here in Houston, Nimitz, I believe it is. The principal can't even control the school. And they're on the borderline. The young people at the school have declared. They go in cursing, carrying pistols, carrying knives. And you ask somebody, do you want to pray about it? Well, I got to go to the church and pray. You hypocrite. I would be in the same context. I would be a hypocrite. Hypocrite. No, we got some issues right before us, standing before us. And the real reason why I come to know, now this is me, what I've experienced. The more you take God at his word, the more God's going to put his word in you. And I will say this to the believer. When we talk to God, when we see that we make a petition, Jesus said in the 17th chapter of St. John, he said, Father, take notice of Father, the hour has come, that you may be glorified, that I may glorify you, just as you glorified me when I was with you. Now, here is a glorification. Jesus and God the Father are saying they are one from the beginning, before the world was even thought of. All of us still there. We have to come to a conclusion to know that God is who he says he is. Everybody, and one thing I take notice, every believer that cries out to God, I don't care if you got the fivefold ministry, every person must come to an understanding that they're going to have to get the Holy Ghost in their lives. And you ask somebody who wants the Holy Ghost, how many of y'all out there been to the place and you've asked somebody, when you got to know them, you talk to them, do you want the Holy Ghost? You know what they're going to tell you? I ain't heard of no Holy Ghost. In the 19th chapter book of Acts, Paul asked the same question. But everybody don't want to come that route. Well, I say this with love and kindness. And the day is the time when Apostle Pamela Robinson was on the radio with us some nights ago and told about her son, how the devil came along and just hit him. And he tried to get up and came along and hit me. The devil has no mercy. He has no mercy. So did we go along with the devil and his demons and all of those who say they love the Lord? They're a bunch of, see, Jesus said, you will know them by the way they act. You will know them by their thoughts. A lot of people say they know something. Everybody wants to criticize and ostracize, but nobody wants to be able to be held accountable. I am a warrior for the body of Christ. I am a warrior. I don't have, we as believers, how much time do we have? We don't know how much time we have. We don't even know how much time we have. Just the other day, they took my brother-in-law in Louisiana, and they couldn't put his body in the grave. but it caused a lot of folks to come because it rained so. See, God has a way of making his elements speak to us. And I know some of us heard the noise last night, and the thunder was roaring, and my grandson woke up to, I was woke talking to God, praying to God in the name of Jesus, and I saw a flash of the light. He said, "Papa, did you see that?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "That's God saying to us, there is a war in the heavens, and there is a war in the heavens right now." How many of us can say that they see miracles in their life being done? How many can reach out and say, "This is what the Lord has used me to do"? How many of us can walk this thing completely? How many of us can? This is a challenge I have to make to myself every day. I have to make it to myself every day. Why? Because I don't know who I'm going to meet. But I got to be prepared because the devil decides to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't care what it is you're in. You got to remember, the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. And like I said to the person, the Apostle Paul said, "I walked by myself for many, many years." And you know what I've learned? I studied the work on the Apostle Paul, not so much about him, but the Apostle Paul was a surety. Because God says, I have a plan for this man. Why? To bring the Gentiles who were not Jewish by original. I have a need for this man. But they said, "Lord, this man named Paul, I'm just using it in late terms. I'm not using scripture. I'm telling a story to you." He said, "Well, Lord, you know this man. This man either whooped our head and broke our nose and then killed us and hung us up." He said, "But God says, "Yes. My God Almighty. But I have need." Jesus said, "I have need." And God is saying to us tonight, "I have need of you. I don't care what you've done wrong. I don't care how you've seen it. God is saying, I have a need for you." Now, everybody want to go off, and let me tell you something else. There are 10 different churches that are mentioned in the book of Acts. All have their different names, denominations, blah, 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 blah. And they have got to come to one thing. The church of Jesus Christ is the body of Jesus Christ. A person try to take that name and solidify it, I don't think that this is wrong as two left shoes. I'm a Baptist. Let them remain a Baptist as long as they got the Holy Ghost. I'm a Methodist. Let them remain as long as they got the Holy Ghost. It's time for us to put it aside. Either we're going to work together on this particular day in the body of Christ. Now, may I say something? See, may I say something that has permitted me to? Well, I'm going to say that to me, so I'm going to say it anyway. But here, faith would accomplish a lot of different things for us. God has given us the ability to call those things. And Jesus gave us a prime example. When they said, "Lord, the people have been following us for over, and they're tired. They hunger," and Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus said, "I'm going to give you another example. I'm going to give you before the cross, before I die, I'm going to show you what power you can have." He said, "Bring me the two pieces of bread and bring me the fish." And he lifted it up. Now, here's the cause of this. He lifted it up before God. So whatever you get in your hands, whatever comes to your hands, remember, if your hands can't lift it up to the living God, you should not be able to receive what God has said. But Jesus said, he is the example. He lifted it up. He said, "Father," and God began to bless him. Because he was in constant communication with God the Father. And God, and the Bible tells you and I as we study, I mean, all those people, over 5,000, plus children, uncles and aunties, they said, and they took up how many baskets of food? But they was all accomplished. See, that's the kind of God we serve. The more, and I've seen some things happen in my life where we was at a meeting. We was out of something. But every time we would believe and we see more things just coming out, I said, "Oh, my God, this is great." See, it's not about me. It's about God. And I will say this tonight is on the radio with me. I love you, and I want you to know. Let me tell you something else I found out. Ah, Jesus. Faith increases the intensity and everything it works. See, when you got that faith moving, there's an intensity. Satan desires. Satan said, I know that one. I got to stop that one. I got to bruise that one. You got to know the devil doesn't love you, husband and wife. Now, dare you think that you're in good standing. No, you got to cover yourself. And I say this with love. Just the other night, my daughter and her husband was coming home from their job. And they was coming home. They didn't hear about it. It was a big accident or something that fell on the freeway. And all of a sudden, other cars just started skidding over. They hit that metal stuff on the road. Nobody saw it. But they had put a warning. I see the state of Texas failed to do their job. And sometimes our government fails to warn us because they're not the caretakers. We who believe. And as I've been telling my daughter, my son-in-law, my son, my daughter-in-law, Satan desires to sift us all that week. While he was coming in, all of a sudden, bam, the right side of the front tire, torn off of the vehicle. Bam, the lookout was going to turn over. She told her dad, she said, I kept praying, and this car would stop. It had no brakes, but they was able to, cause it slammed up against one of the embankments. And I said, you know, God, I thank you. But God said to me, as long as you take me at my word, the devil can never do you no harm. And I'm coming to learn that. I'm coming to learn in the incidents that I've had to become humble. How humble shall I get? As long as God wants me to be humble. I heard a man say, well, one man became so humble until they gave him humble pie. No, you're not going to give me no humble pie. I'm going to be humble to do God's word. See, I know that I know what I've experienced. And when I look at the word of God, the faith, it is a revolutionary attitude that God intensifies. Because I'm going to turn up the heat. Because the enemy is going to turn up the heat on you. Well, God give us more knowledge, more wisdom, more understanding to know what the devil's going to do. And sometimes while we're sleeping, God manifests his will, his word to us. You know, I was dreaming last night. No, I heard the Lord say to me. I heard him say to me. Now, you wasn't there. No, well, when he spoke to you, I wasn't there. But I'm saying to the believer tonight, now let's take note of something, how faith moves in our will. In the state of Texas, right down here in Harris County, Texas has 254 counties, and I have been living in one of the 254 counties called Harris County, one of the largest counties in the state of Texas. We got approximately 4.5 million people that live here. All of a sudden, the believers, the different churches, the different Astacons, the different this and that, allowed, now hear me well, I mean that myself, allowed Lucifer to come within 24 miles of Harris County to set up a church. And they've been in much prayer, much war, but I say to the people, we don't have to do nothing but call on the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Call on the name. But you know what? We can't get it together. Why? Because we won't do what Jesus said. We won't do like they did on the day of Pentecost. We won't come together. I'm bigger. I'm better. I got more to say. This is what God told me to say. Why come we can't let God use us? Because God is intensifying our faith. The force remains within us. Excuse me. The force of faith remains within us, and no matter we look at it. When I learned as a young man, and I watched my mother, I'm going to share to you a true situation, a real, because I was a young man. I watched my mother with all of her children. Daddy left home. It was a blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, when he did what he did, he dropped and he went on about his business. And see, Mama went out and talked to God. She began to talk to God. She said, Father, I got these children that I brought into this world. They're hungry. I have no food to give them. I don't know what I'm going to feed them. No money, no job, no nothing. Back in that time, we lived in a hard time. You talk about the Republicans, talk about it. They ain't lived hard. Nor the Democrats. We lived hard. But all of a sudden, while my mother was praying, somebody came along and left six big baskets of food. God answered her prayer. It's God shows me through the example. He intensified. And he showed me if I walk by faith, I can speak it by faith. And God began to point it out to me. If we're going to do this thing in the faith walk, we got to believe God. We got to believe God. And I know every church right now, we got a church and we're doing this. Let me tell you something. Hogwash. Satan's in the air. He's in the air as we're in the air right now. We're challenging him. And see, last night, glory to God. Last night, while I was in prayer, I got this thought. I said, I ought to get a lightning bolt. And I heard a voice say, can you handle God's bolt? I said, no, that's all right. Just a thought. No, no, no. God can do it. I can't. See, God loves us. He intensifies his love for us. And you know what? Jesus paid a price. Jesus, I need healing. He says, it's a done deal. Jesus, I need this. It's a done deal. I need some money. It's a done deal. Everything we need, Jesus has already done it for us. And you know, I'll say these words. I'm on the line by myself, and I thank God because I'm going to be on here. And tonight's the night that I will say, see, faith is needed to convince and use for the kingdom of God. A lot of people don't want to use faith. A lot of people don't want to use faith. They want to do what they want to do. And see, some people don't know that. Well, we can do this on the radio. No, sometimes it takes us moving to the next level. What God has us to do, our faith, by using what we have, it must be under the thanksgiving of God for the forgiveness of others, knowing through faith that we are forgiven by the word of God. And the more we ask God to forgive us, now this is something God just laid on my heart to tell the people about tonight. We live in a time right now, up there, in Houston, well, we got a war on the right-hand side, a war on the left-hand side. Well, I talked with my brother. He was saying this here. We know these things are going to happen, but what are we doing to help get the people into the kingdom? What are we doing? What are we doing? Are we doing what the Apostle Paul said we need to do? Are we out teaching and preaching and declaring the word of God? Are we running behind? Do we go on the streets? Do we go in houses? Do we go in knockers? No, we don't. That's not my job. Hogwash. 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 Father, tonight's the night that we know, those of us who can believe, all things work together. It works together according to your word of God. And then, Father, becomes your word. It's your word that I believe. It's your word. Your word has power. Your word has willingness. Your word, hallelujah. It's your word. It's your word. Your word brings us to a point where we can say, Lord, I love you. I thank you. I thank you. I love you. And I want to say hallelujah. And so one thing we say to the Holy Father, through Jesus Christ, there is nothing nobody can do what God has done to us. God keeps his eyes upon us. Here we stand before you, Father, and we declare and decree your word, your word, your word. Yes, Lord. See, once again, demonic activity, Father, is intensified in the earth. While every men in the body of Christ have become unconcerned, passive, preoccupied, and even more disassociated. to the reality of spiritual warfare. We are in a spiritual warfare, Father. It's by the Holy Spirit that we're in this warfare. See, we're going to be able to cast out demons. This is no fantasism. Halloween is a joke, but it's real. But do you have the power to cast it out? We have the power. God has granted us some power. It is up to us to do what God has called us to do. Now, beloved, I say these words, and so as some have been deceived to believe, some people have been deceived. I don't believe in that. I love them, Lord. I pray for them. It is actually a staggering reality. We must understand that we are equipped to stand up to the challenge and enforce the victory and authority Christ has awarded to us. And Father, it's because of your word has more power. Your word, it's your word, it's your word, it's your word. Your word has made us to know more than what we can ever know. I want to say thank you. Hallelujah. You have blessed us. God, you have blessed me in heavenly realm. You have blessed me supernaturally. You blessed me with some spiritual blessings. I want to praise be to God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realm, even with the spiritual blessing. Praise you, Father. And then, Father, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, hallelujah, shall keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Father, tonight that we just say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And we realize you're still in charge. Father, we don't have the power to deliver someone. We don't have all the gold. We don't have no gold nor silver to purchase a soul. We don't have it, but you have it. You sent your only son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth realm. He came to this earth realm and declared and decreed. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so when we surrender to him, and I want to say tonight, Father, but every answer and said, it is written, you said it, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. So we got to stay, Father, in tune with you through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But for he whom God sends speaking the word of God, God gives a spiritual measure without. See, God give, Father, I want to thank you for giving us a spiritual measure, without measure, to do your will. And I ask you today, as I call upon your name tonight and agree with you on your name, I'm not afraid. I stand in a position. I stand in a place where I call on Yeshua HaMashiach. I call on the royal diadem. I call on God. I call on God who makes it possible for me, who has made it possible for me. And I want to thank you, Father, through the years, what I have seen. And what I have seen and what you have blessed me with, and I want to thank you. And I call upon your name tonight, declaring and decreeing that no word is like your word. For Father, I pray for the nation. I pray first for the states in the United States of America. I pray that they will come to know the reality of seeing a true and living God. A true and living God. A true and living God. And Father, I want to thank you tonight for everything that you have done for us, for everything that you have brought us to, for everything that you have brought us to a place called there. There you have made us, there you keep us, there you show us your way. And I said, thank you. And because of that, I love you, I adore you, and I magnify your name. And then, Father, because we know in the state of Texas, we're still close to 1 hour, being a new November. But, Father, everyone that can hear my voice, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, is on his way back. Let us get ready. I've lost a lot of friends, but I've gained one big friend. His name is Jesus. He's closer to me than anything else. When my heart is broken, he mends it. When my misunderstanding, he takes it and makes it better. There is no God like him. He's the only true and living God. And everybody got their own. So there's some things that must come to happen. And I want to say this just to you as I play this music for just a few moments and let God be glorified on the radio, because I want the devil to know your music is like the kind of God kind of music. And I want you to know one thing. Commit your way unto him. Trust in him. Psalm 37:5. Self and others. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ with thy mouth. You're not afraid of him. Well, the pastor, what I was talking about, to not lead the church. To lead the church. Find a church that God will have you where you can talk about the word of God. Because some are not God's. Paul said, beware, there's some false prophets, there's some false teachers, there's some false pastors, there's some false evangelists, there's some false who are in the fivefold. They're false, they're liars. They look at what they can get more. Now, this ain't me saying it, it's the word of God. But Father, tonight I say, because as you have done this thing, and I call upon you, and thank you for everything that you have done. Nobody can do it but you. I love you, what you've done, what you're doing for us, and I praise you. Hallelujah. 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 It is you. It is you. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Father. My God. Praise the living God. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness, Thank you. Thank you.